Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
And now Dr. Rosemary Coleman, consultant dermatologist at the Blackrock Clinic, is here to answer your questions about skincare and skin conditions. Rosemary, you're very welcome as always.
Good morning, Claire.
Before we get to our listener questions, we want to talk about the early warning signs of skin cancer. And the reason we're doing this is because Michael Flatley said recently that it was an MTV viewer who spotted signs of his melanoma and got in touch with his assistant to advise him about it. So it's a timely reminder to look out for these things. And you're going to tell us a little bit about the signs.
Well, absolutely. That's a really appropriate question with the fabulous weather we've been having, Claire, because most people are wearing less clothing and they can see their skin. I was thinking about this, and the best way to summarize it is to say that if you develop any new lesion at all on your skin, and by that I mean any little lump, bump, whether it's flesh-coloured, red, pigmented, even a white mark or a little scaly patch, anything at all that's new on your skin and that's there for over 4 to 6 weeks, I tell people they need to have a diagnosis. Skin cancers don't come and go. They come and stay. Little insect bites or spots will come and go, or rashes. So there's that, and also remember all the changes you must watch out for in your moles. So if you think that a mole is changing in size or shape or developing a little black dot or becoming itchy or bleed, don't sit and watch it. I've had melanoma patients come to me saying that they're watching a mole change for 6 to 12 months. And that's upsetting because all of these conditions are very curable when you get them early. So take a photo at home yourself, if you doubt.
So just to remind people, if you have a skin change and it has persisted for 4 to 6 weeks, is that what you said?
That's the goal I use.
Okay, so then it's time to go and get it checked. And the sunscreen. You always advise us about the sunscreen. You want us to wear it when we're sitting inside at a window, driving the car, all the time.
You're getting the message, Claire. Okay. UVA in particular travels through window, and the number of people who say to me, when I say, are you wearing your sunblock? They say, no, I'm not going out today. And they're sitting in my surgery. And I keep emphasizing, even particularly if you're working from home, watch out. And zinc oxide containing sunblocks have become so cosmetically acceptable now. And it has by far the widest absorption spectrum.
Now, let's come to our questions. And our first one, it mightn't sound familiar, but when I tell you what it is, people might recognize this. This person has keratosis pilaris, also known as chicken skin, bumpy skin on the top of the arms. This person's daughter is 15 and has the same condition. Now, what they've done is bought a reasonably priced brand of smoothing cream in a chemist that contains salicylic acid. And she'd like to know, can I use it long term, or is it like using a steroid cream and only for short-term use? Also, is it suitable for her 15-year-old?
Okay, well, it sounds like she's bought something called CeraVe Smoothing SA Cream, which you can buy in any chemist, and it contains salicylic acid and urea, which are two of the best ingredients for this condition, and it also comes in a wash, and I find patients like both of those products. It's perfectly safe to use long-term, and it is indeed safe for her 15-year-old. It is not a steroid, will not thin the skin.
Okay, and that's the best treatment for that condition,
is
it?
It's one treatment, Claire. It's one of those disorders where it's a really bad sign when we have about 20 treatments, because it shows that no one treatment suits everybody. But what your listeners want to watch out for is a cream containing ingredients, active ingredients like salicylic acid, urea, lactic acid, any of those products which help dissolve the little keratin plugs which give that roughness. Okay. And then we have a list of prescription medications we can use for very severe cases. Sometimes it can flare up after pregnancy, etc.
Now, here's another common one. Dear Rosemary, I suffer from rosacea. It's been more obvious in the past year since I turned 48. And the question is, does drinking wine make it worse, or can I get away with a few glasses on a Friday and Saturday night? Apart from the food and drink side of things, what is the best treatment for rosacea?
Okay, well, there are a lot of questions there. Firstly, Unfortunately, alcohol does seem to aggravate the symptoms of rosacea in about 3/4 of people. So I don't tell my patients to stop drinking. I don't think that's necessary, but what I say is find your drink. A lot of people will find that wine causes far more problems than spirits, and they might be okay with a cocktail. Or they may just have to embrace the fact that they want to drink and they will be redder. And the alcohol causes some vasodilation where you get flushed. Do you remember the old days when we used to be able to go to a pub and you'd see a lot of flushed faces? These rosacea patients can get much more flushed because they've broken blood vessels.
Oh, okay.
So alcohol does not cause rosacea. There are plenty of alcoholics without it. And stopping alcohol won't cure it.
So we're advising people here this morning to go on the gin. That's what we're
there
doing.
There you go. There you go. So you'll have a nice feature on all the lovely flavoured gins in Ireland now.
We'll be in trouble. But the wine makes it worse. Is that what we're saying?
For a lot of people, particularly the sulfites in the wine, in the white wine or in the younger wines, they say a very good, expensive, organic, old red wine can be better. But it really is a matter of finding the drink that aggravates your rosacea.
Okay.
But stopping alcohol altogether will not cure it. You still need medical treatment, which will be the second part of her question.
Yes.
And what I would emphasize here, Claire, is that rosacea is not a cosmetic problem. Rosacea damages the skin. It causes new blood vessel formation and a thickened skin, sometimes a thickened nose. So don't waste money spending all your time having treatments and buying creams online and lotions. They can complement the medical treatment and they can make sure that you're not using the wrong creams, but you need to go to your doctor and get a prescription for either a medical cream or a tablet if it's more severe, or we use a lot of Roaccutane for the severe persistent resistant rosacea. There's a tendency for people to think it's not curable, I'm going to have to just put up with it. And I think that's dreadful. It's a bit like somebody saying hypertension is not curable, so I'm not going to bother taking the tablets.
Okay, and Leah has been in touch with us. She has rosacea as well, and she said that the last time you were on, I think it was the last time, you mentioned laser treatment for rosacea, and she just wanted you to elaborate on that.
Okay, so the medical treatments will get rid of the inflammation. The redness in rosacea would have two main components. There's a background pinkness, inflammation and thickening of the tissue and swelling, but rosacea causes new blood vessel formation, angiogenesis, and therefore people can get a lot of broken blood vessels on their nose and face. And only laser will work for that, and it's extremely effective.
Now, another question on sun cream and rosacea, actually. Does sun cream, can it aggravate sensitive eyes and skin rosacea?
Yes, anything can aggravate it, the wrong one. Yes, absolutely. You just have to find the right one. But that is not sun. The important thing is that sunlight aggravates rosacea. UVB, a lot of our patients will start to get worse around March. So they have to step up on their sun protection. So that's far more important. She will definitely be able to find a sunblock. Probably a physical block will be better for a sensitive patient like that. It's more inert. It sits on the skin and it acts like a mirror, reflecting the light off the skin rather than a chemical block which has to be absorbed into the skin.
So what ingredients are we looking for, Rosemary, to get the right one?
Zinc oxide is the big one, Claire.
Okay.
Zinc oxide has the widest absorption spectrum. She might like to avoid the chemical sunblocks. I can give you a list of chemicals, but you know it's as easy for her to Google them. But things like avobenzone, oxybenzone, octocrylene, all of those she might like to avoid.
Okay, so we look out for the zinc oxide.
Zinc
and another one, a quick one here. Does sun cream go out of date?
Yes, it does actually. It's one of the few things that when it says, it usually says, you know, that little symbol with the lid, and it'll say not valid over 12 months. Studies were done and have been published in the dermatological literature showing it goes out of date. What I tend to do with those is I don't throw them out. I'm too mean to do that. I leave them in the car so that you're never stuck or there's an emergency, or I might use them on lower risk sites like, say, my legs if I'm wearing a long skirt, so it's not high risk in the sun. But, you know, do not rely on them for exposed skin.
Okay, because so, you find, you know, you open one in August and then it gets to maybe next summer. You know, a children's one, you mightn't have used it in a while and you think, am I safe to use this or not? So I'm going to take that advice from you, Rosemary, today. Paula was given medical grade retinol by a skin specialist. It is meant to be used at night, but it makes me cough because I have sensitivity to smells. Can I use it in the daytime instead?
Yes, it's a myth that a retinol cannot be used at night. People think it damages their skin to use it in the day. It doesn't. The reason that guideline went on retinols many years ago is because sunlight inactivates the retinol. So unless she puts it on, lets it soak in, and then puts on a thick layer of something like zinc oxide, it will just simply break down and not be of any use, but it will not harm her.
Okay, I have one here about a teenage son who has dandruff. He uses a supermarket dandruff shampoo every second day, but he still has flakes. He's very self-conscious about it. Is there any other scalp treatment he could try?
Yes, I think that young man doesn't just have simple dandruff or what you might think of as dry skin. I think he's got a medical condition called seborrheic dermatitis. So what he has is inflammation in his scalp with an increased cell turnover and lots of dry skin. He needs some medical treatment. Now, he can start with some... This is often caused, Claire, by overgrowth of a yeast. So he can buy Nizoral shampoo across the counter, use it once a week, soaking it in well for a good 10 minutes to allow the drug in the Nizoral to kill the yeast. He could also try stronger shampoos like Capasal or T-Gel. But I must say, you know, supermarket Head & Shoulders is a very good product for ordinary dandruff, but he probably needs to go to his doctor and get a prescription for a topical steroid to switch off the inflammation, which he might have to use for a few days in a row and then only once a month or during flare-ups.
Rosemary Coleman, thank you very much as always, and we will chat again soon. Consultant dermatologist there, lots of questions for Rosemary, and we will have her back again.